Save big on everything you need when you shop at Menards. Spidey Electric smart home products make everyday living simply smarter. Stay connected to home while you're away with wireless outdoor security cameras. Control all your smart home products from anywhere using one easy-to-use app. View our entire selection of Fight Electric smart home products today on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for other great deals happening this week. Save big money at
Menards. Hey guys, it's Allie. Welcome back to In for Life, the podcast. This is episode 337 called Dylan Morgan. All right, friends. So this episode is all about sperm donation and innovations. And in my latest book, Beautiful Bird, we talk about sperm donation as well. We don't call it that because it's a children's book, but you'll get the gist when you read the story. So if you want to check out my two books that are all about IVF, ART, and building thoroughly modern families through science, you can check them out on my website at inforleifgroup.com. The first book, Work of Art, is about my family, and Beautiful Bird is about some dear friends of mine and my godson, both true stories. So they're really great gifts. They're great ways to incorporate, you know, storytelling and how families can be built in so many different ways for no matter what your family looks like. So check them out on my website, inforleifgroup.com. And thank you so much to everybody who has already purchased them. I also want to invite anybody and everybody who's going through something in the infertility world to check out Fertility Rally. We're always welcoming new members. We have 5 to 6 support groups every single week on Zoom. We have virtual and IRL events. We have private Facebook groups, and we have so many resources and just hundreds of people who get it. So it's what I wish I had when I was going through it. Check us out on IG at Fertility Rally or check out our website, fertilityrally.com. If you have any questions about the membership whatsoever, or you want to check out a group and before you commit, see if it's your jam, let me know. Reach out to me on my Instagram at InfertileAFStories. All right. So this is another expert mini-sode. So today I'm talking to my buddy Dylan Morgan of Cascade Cryobank, which is a sperm bank based in Washington. And we're going to talk about innovations and recent happenings in the world of sperm donation. So it's a pretty niche episode, but super interesting. We're going to talk about meetings that Cascade Cryobank is implementing, video calls between potential donors and recipients. We're going to talk about how AI is being incorporated, not only into the sperm donation world, but the fertility world in general, and some other stuff too. So without further ado, this is Dylan on In for a Laugh. Hi, Dylan. It's so good to talk to you again. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Allie. Thanks for having me on again. I'm always very excited to come talk to you.
I want to talk about some of the things that you guys have going on lately. So let's start with, I know you're piloting a program now with some of your donors. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, definitely. And like you're saying, we're like number one, big on customer service. So this kind of comes up like on the heels of some of the conversations we've had with people. We're always trying to make our intended parents' journeys a little easier, always trying to take care of them as best as we can. And so we get some questions that we consider to be, kind of outlandish when we initially hear them, some of the requests we have for some of the donor information that we can release, right?
Right.
People want to know so much, and like, we definitely respect it. Of course, you want to know as much as you can, but sometimes there's just information that you can't release, right? Mm-hmm. We have to think about our donors' privacy and what that means right now for the future. Of course, we have our early disclosure program, and that kind of seeks to jump those barriers. But one of the big things that people want to know is, well, I shouldn't say what they want to know, but what they want to do is they want to talk to the donors and get an idea for, what do they look like? What are their mannerisms? How do they sound?
Right.
There's so many questions they have for us that, we might not initially have asked in our interview. That, mm-hmm. We'll always go back and ask again. We'll always seek these answers out. We've had people come to us and ask, well, can't I just talk to them? Mm-hmm. Can't they just say hi? And the answer, has been no for a while, just because, that's the way we always do things.
Right. Because up until this point, would it be correct in saying, Dylan, that most people, you know, you have the record of the donors, but some places will just have like a photo or a baby photo. And obviously some info, some places have like a recording where you can listen to them, you know, kind of answering some questions, but you guys are kind of taking it one step further, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So I said, it's the way we're always doing things, but that's not a great reason to continue doing things.
Exactly.
So, you know, we thought, why can't they talk to each other? Why can't we set these meetings up as long as we don't provide the identity details, right? So let me give you a little bit of the nitty gritty here. I'm going to go into the weeds really quick.
Okay.
So technically speaking, we are an anonymous bank, although we have ID release programs. We're considered anonymous just by classification.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are known donor programs. We're similar in that we provide sperm to people, but the way we work, not only by definition, where you don't technically know our guy, and with a known donor program, you do know their guy.
Mm-hmm.
That comes with a completely different rule set for how you're allowed to collect sperm and distribute it.
Okay.
Completely different from how we work. So that's kind of what we grappled with. Well, how do you classify somebody as knowing somebody? And I mean, the number one key thing is like, you know their name. As long as you don't know that you know their name, you're okay. So we started doing these de-identified donor meetings with some of our intended parents and our donors.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, of course, the question is, well, how do you get the donors to agree to this? Well, we ask the donors. I mean, that's all you really have to do.
Yeah. Would you be willing to? Yeah. So what does that look like? You said it's a video call, right?
Yeah. Just like this right now.
Okay.
Yeah. So essentially what we do is we have two separate accounts that we use to put people onto a phone call together so that you don't see their name. So you just show up as donor or recipient.
Uh-huh.
And then I sit there, I tell you the rules, because there's some rules like, you know, don't say each other's names, you know, don't
talk
about your place of birth or anything.
You have to moderate and make sure, like, you know, stuff doesn't go off the rails, right?
Exactly. And we've got a waiver that says, hey, if you learn something identifying, you know, you keep it to yourself. Of course, it's kind of a loose rule right now. I'm trying to get around, trying to find a more structured way of doing things. So like, you know, the radio button, like if you swear on the radio, you can beep it.
You get bleeped.
Exactly.
Right.
We're thinking about stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. And then I say, you know, go for it. I'm going to sit here. I record the meeting, turn off my camera, turn off my microphone, and then I just let them talk.
Wow. So how long did they get to talk?
About half an hour, usually. I mean,
that's amazing.
It's the kind of thing where the donor gets to say how long they want to talk. The recipients typically guide the conversation. The donor gets to say what questions he's comfortable answering. On average, about half an hour, sometimes a little bit more, sometimes a little bit less. You never know.
I imagine that they get to like glean so much more information about the donor, and it just helps make them make an informed decision, right? I mean, is this when people are interviewing to decide if they want to work with the donor, or is it after they've decided?
This is before.
Okay. So it helps them determine.
Exactly. Yeah.
Gotcha.
So the way we see it, it's almost like talking to an interactive picture of a person who has perfect knowledge of their lives.
This is the first I've heard of this, Dylan. Are you guys the first ones who are doing this?
For an anonymous bank, as far as we know. That being said, like they're the known donor programs. I got a shout out, of course, to Seed Scout, to Coast to Coast. They have their own programs. You know, we're friends with them. And honestly, and then of course you look at some of the egg donation programs too. They've already been doing this.
Yeah.
So for a sperm bank, it's kind of new.
Yeah. Well, I think it makes so much sense. And again, you know, you guys are so dedicated to like the screening process and making sure that it's a good experience for everybody involved. So I think that this is one of those things where it's like, yeah, that makes so much sense. Yeah,
right.
Especially with the technology that we have now, the ability to do that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we learned so much from doing early disclosure. It's like, hey.
Yeah.
All you have to do is ask people and then they'll give you a yes or no. And not everybody has to say yes. You know, you're allowed to have some no's in there. It's okay.
Right.
As long as we can provide this service in some way, in some fashion, that's what we really want to focus on doing right now.
Yeah. So you said you're piloting this program with some of the donors and you've been privy to some of the calls, right?
Oh, yeah. I've been
on. So how have they gone and are people happy with it?
So yes, people love it. We're big fans of it, but some of the conversations, you don't know which ways they're going to go.
Right.
And, you know, all the guys.
You're sitting there with your finger, like ready to bleep or like end the call abruptly.
No. Nope, not that.
Yeah.
I haven't had to put my hand up and stop a conversation yet, which is great. But it is kind of interesting to sit there and watch somebody when they're either deciding they don't want to work with this guy or they do, because you know what answers they're looking for. You talk to them beforehand, like, you know, mm-hmm. what are you hoping to get out of this conversation? I try to get a little deep with mm-hmm. the recipients first. And I shouldn't say like too deep, but I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, with especially gamete donation and pregnancy, you have to ask deep questions and you have to be really on the ball.
Right.
People's hopes and wishes, because it's like,
right,
at the end of the day, this person's going to have a child.
It's a huge decision.
They want to make sure they're doing it the way they want to do it. So you're, you know, sitting there watching, having a conversation, it's going great, you know. So one of the big questions is, how open are you to contact after, you know, I potentially give birth? Which is a reasonable question, mm-hmm. you know, especially for the early disclosure donors who they've already signed something saying they're open to some amount of contact, mm-hmm. in the form of a meeting. And for the most part, people are looking towards, have you ever heard of like the Lucina scale?
No.
They're another donor service. They have a scale of like contact openness, right? From like zero, like totally anonymous, to six, which is like close personal relationship and everything in between.
Okay.
Like, so we kind of use that as a loose guideline when we're talking to these people. Like,
right.
And typically people are looking for, you know, acquaintance or like family friend / uncle level involvement, where it's like, yeah, every once in a while, can we pitch you a question? You have you answer it? We've had people ask like, hey, can you show up to my kid's birthday party every year and do this and that and that? And so for the most part, the donors are like, well, not really.
Right.
I'm not looking to be too involved. I'm just a sperm donor at the end of the day. But then on the other side of it, you know, when we have these people, like, can you just say, can we write you every time we have a major event? Maybe. Can you just get on a call with us once a year, this or that? That's typically where donors are happy to be in this like, uh-huh. relationship paradigm.
Right.
And so when they ask that the donors that question, that's typically the answer. But we've been in the position where, you know, oh, hey, are you okay with this kind of contact? And the donor will just say, nope, I'm going to have one by one meeting. And then I don't plan to be involved at all. And then you just, it's the hard part is you just see the person talking to them. It's like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. I know it, but it's okay.
We've got right. But good, I guess good to know going into it. Well, you know, if that's a deal breaker, that's a deal breaker.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But that's so interesting.
At the same time, some people are okay with that. Like, hey, you know what? Just so long as I can get you on video saying something that I can eventually show my kid someday, like, this is the guy. This is what right. he looks like, sounds like. There you go.
Yeah. Do they get a recording of the call or?
They can. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Absolutely. That's really cool.
Yeah. And especially after the fact, this preliminary phone call, it's not mm-hmm. typically as deep or as important. Mm-hmm. It's more educational, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Another thing I want to talk about is I know that you guys have been attending a lot of like conferences and IRL events, you know, in our industry, and you're getting excited about some of the innovations. We were talking a little bit about AI.
Oh, yeah.
And electronic Absolutely. Medical records before we started recording. Can you tell us a little bit about that and, you know, how that can help to streamline the patient process, just what you've learned and like what people might be able to, you know, look forward to in the industry, like with different companies and things?
Yeah, definitely. So this is the new world. This is the horizon of tech right now. It's just absolutely wild to see.
It's like we're talking about the World Wide Web, like back in the day when they're like, is it going to be a thing? I don't know. Is it going to be a big thing?
Yeah.
Like AI. It's
mail instantly. Wow.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, yeah, it feels somewhat like that, honestly, paradigm shifting technology. It's
100%. I feel like we're on the precipice of like looking back, being like, oh my God, I can't even imagine life before this.
Right. You know? Yeah. I'm just waiting for the assistant that I have, the AI assistant who actually, you know, can do everything I want it to perfectly.
Oh my God,
you
know, yes.
I feel like there still might be a couple knobs to tweak there. But
yeah. But so how is it affecting the like medical records and yes. our industry?
We've seen some really terrific examples of what AI can do. We would personally love to onboard it. We don't really have, there's not really a program out there for sperm banks. This is something that we have talked about where we could implement some of these like AI optimization technologies to say, and I'll just give you background as to what we could use. And that'll kind of, I suppose, inform how it works. For a sperm bank, it'd be fantastic, right? You could look at donor samples, every single one. You could take sperm analysis results, put them into a computer. We kind of do this already on our own, but of course, it's imperfect. We're humans. There's probably an error we make here or there. You know, we could hopefully see a platform that could take our sperm analysis results and say, look, this is the guy's diet for the week. This is the supplements he takes. This is his abstinence period. If any of this information we could take into consideration, put in the program, and hopefully get a better understanding of why, like, let's say sperm counts fluctuate so much. Mm-hmm. And we could really start tuning in, say, hey, listen, we need you to increase your abstinence period, or we need you to drink more water. Of course, stay out of a hot tub. But I mean, it's just, that's the thing. On the sperm side, it's so simple for what we have to do.
Yeah.
Look at the industry as a whole and what, you know, intended parents have to go through, what women have to go through when they're doing their cycles, their hormone shots, their trigger injections. All these things are so carefully measured by the professionals in the field. And then the timing, of course, is super important. And it makes sense why people spend a lot of time and a lot of effort doing this job. It's not easy or simple. Some of the platforms we've seen are, again, kind of taking that concept and flipping it on its head, saying, listen, we've trained AI to figure this stuff out with a significant level of accuracy.
Right.
And so a company that I'm a big fan of, I've met the co-founder of, Luis.life. They're full clinic management, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Full clinic operational support. But their whole plan is to integrate AI into their whole business model, right?
Mm-hmm.
To say, well, listen, everything you do as a clinic, sure, you know, your patient records, your patient notes, your task lists, your billing, your insurance, all this stuff. We have an AI that can manage all of this, and it can mm-hmm. write you notes every day, like saying, listen, these are the things that need to get taken care of for this person, for that person. And then you can go to the patients and say, here is essentially what happened in your visit. Here is the notes the doctor sees, I think, and the prescription, essentially, what you have to do in your own time when you're preparing for your cycle. So it's honestly, it's so amazing
mm-hmm.
to see just, of course, everybody hears about it. It's AI. It's going to take over the world. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, this is kind of that happening in real time. Here is this amazing new piece of technology that's just
right.
been introduced to our industry. And it's that first taste that we're getting.
Yeah. I mean, I think people think in general AI, it's like scary and robots are coming and, you know, they're going to take over everything. But this is actually one of those places where it can actually be used for good and for, again, making this experience going through ART, going through donor, you know, the donor experience, make it easier for people and make it better for people and more streamlined and faster, hopefully, and all those things. So
yeah.
I feel hopeful about it.
I shouldn't say AI taking over the world. I suppose that does put a bit of a spin on it. But
well, yeah. I mean, I think we all think that, or we thought that initially at first. It was like, oh my God, they're going to take all of our jobs and they're going to like come to get us. And it's, you know, you've seen the movies. It's
oh yeah.
Oh,
how long
sci-fi
until T-1000 comes walking down the street?
Totally. All right. Thanks again to Dylan and everybody over at Cascade Cryobank. Love working with those guys and spreading the news about what's going on with them. Also, don't forget to check out Work of Art and Beautiful Bird, my children's books about ART and fertility and family building in thoroughly modern ways. You can get those on my website, which is infertileafgroup.com. And also, don't forget to look into Fertility Rally if you need a safe place to land. We'd love to have you. We'd love to support you. You can check us out on IG at Fertility Rally, and you can go to our website, which is fertilityrally.com. Thank you again for listening. Talk to you guys next time.